With Roy McVeigh at Dragoncello, exciting new restaurant in Surry Hills, and also with Anna Jane Dalton from Conjure Up. Roy, can you tell us a bit about your background? Because I have to confess, I didn't know a lot about your background, and I came tonight at Anna's invitation, and it's one of the most exciting meals I've had this year. Can you tell us about your background as a chef?
I was a sous chef at Brewer Waters. Before that, I was a sous chef at H for a very short amount of time, for a small amount of time, until he decided to come back. And in between then, I was sous chef at Bathing Pavilion twice. I worked there for 4 years, on and off. And in between, I did Bennelong. I've staged at Attica, Royal Mail, Four in Hand. Before I was in Sydney, I was at a one Michelin star restaurant in Hong Kong. And before that, I was at Nautilus in Port Douglas as a sous chef.
Anna, feel free to join in just in the discussion about the food. But one of the things I found about Roy's food was he's got a exceptional sort of... he understands seasoning, balance of flavours, texture. And now something you're very... you're an expert on spicing.
Well, I was very interested because quite often you'll go to a restaurant and something is completely under-seasoned.
Yeah.
But what you're very clever at doing is you're clever at seasoning and you're clever at taking things right to the edge but not going over.
Yeah, it's so important because, like, if you go too far, like, people will, instead of, like, coming back, they'll freak out. So you have to put them in a place where they're not comfortable until they eat it without sending them running for the street.
Can we tell you, can you talk a bit about the Amuse? Because that was fascinating.
Yeah, Amuse Bouche, yeah.
Yeah.
So basically while I worked in Hong Kong, I got my trade papers in Thailand, Malaysia and Vietnam. So we went right through Asia studying constantly for a year and a half. And basically, when you get to Malaysia, there's this curry, and it's the curry that all the locals love. It's what everyone wants. It's fish head curry. Like, I didn't get it there, but when we got back to Australia, it was one of the recipes that we started working, because we were quite poor, and we were bringing in whole fish at work, and I was taking the heads home and making fish head curry. It sort of evolved to the extent that I've never met anyone that doesn't like it.
Mm.
You know, you put this down in them and it just changes their mind about everything, you know?
Really interesting about it too, you had like an apple foam on top of it, which was really interesting because that hit you first, and then we went into the actual curry itself, which was beautifully balanced, and I think that was the key to it.
Yeah.
If that wasn't balanced properly, that could have really been quite a dangerous way to open the meal, but
yeah.
If anything, it was just a stimulation. It was almost a statement of what was to come.
It augured well for the meal to follow. It was very interesting because initially when you go through the foam, which has got sort of just a little bit of sweetness, and then you go into the curry, which has that gentleness of coconut, but at the same time... It's got a bit of a kick.
Yeah.
And so that sweetness balances against that. I found it really, really interesting.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting.
Now, AJ, your palate, as far as spicing, is absolutely spot on. So you were actually intrigued during the meal about how Roy used spicing throughout the menu.
Yeah, I was, because I'm a great fan of what I call a dry fish curry, which is not dried fish. It is just a dry curry made of fish. And the dish that you did, which was the barramundi, with the cauliflower puree, the spice in that was spot on.
Yeah.
And it was almost, if you had flaked the fish and put the cauliflower through, you would have ended up with something in my mind that was almost like a dry curry. It was a really, really lovely dish.
The thing is, it's a really simple dish. Right? It's a super simple dish, and there's nothing complex about it, except the spice is really, really, really complex.
That's what I'm saying.
So, you know, you've got something that's quite plain and simple,
yep.
And then you put the spice over top, and all of a sudden it just lifts it. Yeah.
But it doesn't take over, and that's where you're clever, because the balance is there, so the produce still shines.
Yeah.
But you've got this amazing sort of little party in your mouth happening.
I also think too, like a measure of a really good chef is how he cooks seafood. I mean, it's an art. It's a bit of an intuitive art, and I've seen great savoury chefs, and they just don't. The timing's just out on the seafood, but that was just absolutely beautiful. The texture on that was sublime.
Yeah, it's really good.
I'm going to tell you a big secret. Like, I've worked for a lot of places, and none of them look after their fish. I've worked at one that was absolutely fantastic with their fish, but most of them is really scary, and they overcook their fish. They don't look after it. They don't cut it very well. They don't buy good quality. And what's scary is that the good quality fish is actually cheaper. So, you know, when you take a piece of fish, you buy it whole, you buy it with the scales on, you buy it with the guts in, because basically when the fishmonger processes it, they use a lot of water because they're trying to go really fast, and it takes away all the flavour, and you get a really bad quality of fish. So, you know, I've seen people do everything from, you know, fillet a fish with a serrated knife to, you know, force people to wash it, and there's some of the best restaurants in the city. And, you know, if you just take your time with it and give it that bit of love and undercook it a little bit and just let it finish on a plate and under the heat lamps, fantastic. And, you know, you just by looking after the fish, you already made it the superstar, you know.
Exactly.
Before you even cook it.
Mm. And we're in your office area, and we just came up here ad hoc to just to get so we could record the interview, but I just saw something in your table, and I'm like, this really sums the restaurant up in many ways for me. And there's just a note here, and it's just written on a normal piece of paper, and has committed to quality through innovation, sustainability and value. Can you talk about that as your...
Yeah, basically that's what this whole place is about. It's exactly that. You know, we're going to give people really good food, really good wine, that's value for money. And we're going to do a lot of it through innovation and just being creative. Like, there's enough creative people here that, you know, they've got fantastic ideas, and they're quite intelligent. And if you just sit back and listen a little bit, you know, you'll learn a lot.
Can you tell us about your sous chef? Because you've got a lot of confidence in her. And can you tell us a bit about her background a little bit?
All right, so she worked with me at Bathers Pavilion. Basically, I spent a little while there with her, training her at the time, and she got my attention pretty fast. I mean, she just qualified maybe 2 or 3 months ago, but she's an absolute gun. I know that Bathers, I was there, I made sure she got the job when she came in for the trial, and, you know, she had come out of a bowls club at the time, and she has absolute huge amounts of potential. She's an absolute gun, and she's going to go a long, long way.
What's her name, mate?
Her name's Madison Rose, or Maddie.
Yep.
And, you know, if she's treated properly and given a bit of respect, which is not something you see in kitchens very often. Usually they're very aggressive, and it's your fault. But, you know, if you treat this girl right, she's going to be a superstar.
Can we talk about, I mean, you've got a lot of experience, and about the responsibility of having someone like Madison under you, and teaching her properly. I mean, there's all the negative side of kitchens are very well documented. I was even speaking to Martin Ben yesterday about his time in London, and I spoke to other chefs about those battleground kitchens of London where all that was probably done the wrong way, and it was done for the pursuit of Michelin stars, basically. But can you tell us how you run a kitchen? What's your...
Okay, so I'm really laid back, and I'm really casual. The whole aggressive thing doesn't work. I work on, you know, get young guys with potential and train them, you know, because they're here because they want to cook good food. They want to learn, they want to cook good food, they have some skills. So if you have those building blocks and you look after them and you nurture them and you feed them and you give them ideas and you talk to them nicely, you get so far with these people, you know. Once you gain their respect, they'll jump over bridges for you.
Well, we picked up on that with the floor staff because they were quite extraordinary. I also wanted to talk to you a little bit about when we spoke before, you know, we decided that I'd come in.
Yeah.
We were talking about produce, because that's the thing for me with food. I mean, you've got amazing technique, but what you do is you still make that produce shine. And so maybe if you can talk a little bit about how you've got the gardens going and that sort of thing.
So basically, I've had the gardens for quite a while.
Yep.
They're not new by any means, and I've always had them. Everywhere I go, it's always been something that I've done. We put in a garden. I've always been really poor, so basically we grow our own herbs everywhere. And recently, you know, we've found like groups of people that are sort of encouraging that, and you know, we've got quite a lot of garden and quite a lot of produce. We've got half an acre in Mossman.
That's extraordinary.
Is that like a community allocation, or is that?
It is a community allocation, but basically. These people, they're fantastic. I've been dealing with them for quite a long time, and they're just happy to have me there, you know. So
how much of that can you get through the restaurant as far as...
Whatever I want.
Really?
Yeah.
So what are we talking about? What's been grown?
Basically, I use everything they don't know how to use. So I use all the flowers. I use all the leaves. I use all the exotic stuff. And anything that's in excess.
Had a lovely flower gel on the menu tonight.
The chamomile?
Yeah, we really like that.
It's pretty simple. Brandy,
mm-hmm.
apple juice, and chamomile tea.
Yeah.
But it's with the pate, was it?
No. It was with the duck.
Yep.
With the duck.
With the duck.
Yeah, that one there, basically, on the with the pot stickers.
Sorry,
yeah.
The pot stickers.
Yeah, the
flower
gel.
Oh, right, the nasturtium gel.
Yeah.
That was so cute.
You know, this is one of my signature dishes. This is a really strong dish that I've been doing for a really long time. The flour gel is new for this dish.
Mm.
It's really good.
And it's absolutely fantastic. So basically what it is, it's nasturtium vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
So you take the nasturtium flowers, which we have excessive amounts of on the balcony.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot. And we soak them in white balsamic.
Mm.
Yep.
And we just set it with some gel, and the work's done.
It added some really nice acidity to that dish, we thought.
It really needed it, yeah.
Yeah.
The dish needs it just for the balance, because... It's really rich, it's really buttery, and it's quite sweet. So, you know, I try and add salt with the puffed grains as well as texture.
Mm-hmm.
I'm quite deliberately make them a little bit salty, and then we try and add acidity with the vinegar.
Whilst we're speaking of grains, I mean, I must admit I'm not the greatest fan of ancient grains in quinoa. However, tonight I thought they were really meaningfully placed on that dish. It wasn't overdone.
Yeah.
The texture was just a lovely little light touch into the dish.
Yeah.
And the roasting of them,
it really made
the dish pop. It was really interesting.
The way we're working is, I don't care about the trends. I just put things on the plate that need to be there. And it's all about eating. So the dishes, we've tried them all. Nothing's there. It doesn't need to be there, and it's just dicky, and it's just there to look good. We've taken it off. We don't want it. You know, everything that's on the plate is really well thought out, and it's placed there because it actually needs to be there.
We were talking earlier. You were talking about sense memory in dishes. Can you talk a bit about that? How you want to sort of almost put that, invoke that into your dishes?
I like to play with people. Right, when they sit down at the table and they're eating my food, they're in my hands, and I like to play with them and tease them and make. At some points of the meal, make them uncomfortable because there's something so new, like fish heads, to the extreme where you want them to go down further down the courses and bring back memories of their childhood and childhood dishes and lollies and, you know, milkshakes and Vegemite and cheese sandwiches.
Hence the bubble gum gummies.
And just like do something different.
Yeah.
And play with them, you know, because once they're here, emotionally they're mine, yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, as diners, we want to be challenged. I mean, if we're not challenged, what's the point of it? I mean,
the thing is that not all diners want to be challenged, and that's where, you know, we're going to have problems, because this isn't for everybody. Because some people just want steak and chips, you know. And if
there's a pub across the road,
there is, and they should go there.
So how do you walk that balance? Then how do you?
It's just a matter of, you know, finding that really fine line in between what I want to do and what the customer wants. And to be honest, like, I don't think we've had a massive struggle in finding it. Like, it was something I was worried about, and I really had Stu worried downstairs, because I gave him the menu and I said, hey, listen, I want to do this. And he just freaked out. He goes, you want to do chicken with chocolate? What's this? Chocolate cake and sorrel? Are you freaking crazy? And, you know, like, last week he sat down and he ate it and he goes... Fuck. It's okay, man.
Can you tell us about, just while we're on that, the vision for the restaurant? I mean, what, when you first saw this space, what was your idea for it?
It scared me a lot. You can see we're in quite a beautiful dining room at the moment, but the walls used to be fluorescent orange. Yep. It used to have an office ceiling with another ceiling above it.
Yep.
It was a really scary place. It was one of the most horrible restaurant and kitchens I've ever seen in my entire life. It was Indian for 20 years. The equipment didn't, I don't know if it worked, but it had so much grease on it that you didn't want to touch it. It was bad.
Can you tell me, because I can see upstairs here is going to be extraordinary when it's
ready to go, but downstairs is quite a complex dining room.
Yeah, but can you see that turning into more of a bar?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
so that you'd dine up here and down there you'd have bar food.
Yeah, but
and
we're sort of setting the standards now because we want people to come here to eat.
Absolutely.
We're going to make this a little dining destination, and that's the way it is. You know, they can more than welcome to have a drink, but downstairs is just going to be a reception centre for up here.
Yeah. And
you know, basically, it's a service bar for the restaurant.
Mm.
So it's quite a big bar.
Yeah.
You know, but it has to be because we're going to end up with about 110 seats in the next year or 2 years. So it's going to be quite big.
Just sense with your food and just listening to your background, Roy, that you know, you're really sort of in first or second gear. Do you see a time down the track where you'll just, I guess, get the confidence of the locals and get your clientele up where you might sort of just push a little bit further out? Or
if people want it
and
they kind of start getting it and they start turning up because of this, then I'll crank it right up without any issues at all. I'll just turn it up.
Just technically, we can see already. I mean, that technically it's very sound.
Yeah,
and so it's very clear on the plate, isn't it, OJ?
Absolutely, and we were commenting on that all the way through dinner. It's really interesting food, and in the hands of somebody else, it wouldn't work because unless you've got the technique and unless you've got the ability to balance, it just would be a disaster.
Yeah, yeah. It's just
like
a matter of convincing people of this because, like, saying, like, up until last week, Stu thought I was crazy.
Yeah.
Mm.
No.
We talk about downstairs, I mean, because obviously it this actual restaurant proves you don't have to drop a bomb in a fit-out. If you do it properly and you show a little bit of sensitivity to it, downstairs to me had a very, I felt a Melbourne feel to it. AJ, you thought a little European almost?
I thought it was
almost
more European.
Yeah. Well, what's your view for, say, for just get our listeners up to date here too, like downstairs seats about, is it 22 to 26?
Yeah.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah.
And upstairs is going to be the next development when you get council approval. What's your vision for up here?
60.
So we can fit 60 in this room and another 10 in the private dining room.
Yep.
But literally the private dining room's on the other side of the hall.
Yep.
So anybody that goes in there is exceptionally special.
Yeah.
Because I have to pay a waiter just for that one fucking room there.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily a VIP room, but anybody that walks in there, it's for a special event. It's for wine dinners. It's for chef's dinners.
Yeah.
It's for people who, like this, want to sit down and talk and have a huge amount of interest in food. You know, and we can bring them, show them some of the foraged ingredients because there's quite a lot. Stuff from the gardens. We can even take them out to the balcony garden, which hopefully by then will be a lot bigger. I can't see why it wouldn't be. And up in here is going to be a very serious little restaurant. Not fine dining. I've been doing that for a long time, and those people, they're not making money unless they're in Circular Quay or something like that. It's all smoke and mirrors, and they're really losing a lot of money. Yeah. But basically, what this place is about is the same standard of food, the same standard of alcohol, but without all the bullshit. No no dicky waiters, no fucking unnecessary garnishes, no just good service, good food, good wine, good prices. Yeah.
Well, we were very impressed by your staff downstairs and the food was amazing.
Yeah, I was just saying to AJ during the meal, without preempting anything, that, I mean, it was hatted food. You could taste the, you could see the refinement, the technique, and even though it's pared back a little bit at the moment,
I think the pairing back for it is really good for it, though.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it gets the honesty back on the plane.
Yeah, I mean, this whole building is sort of about honesty, like, because it's had a pretty rough life, and you know, it fits the space.
That's the exciting part, I guess, about the restaurant, that not only opportunity for yourself and for your staff, but for the building.
Yeah.
It gives this building another purpose and life, you know,
it
without...
Does,
yeah.
Because, you know, this building was so bad that the owners were ready to give up on it, I think.
Yeah, and sell it to a developer who'd put up some units.
Yeah.
So it's nice because you can see that it's got good bones.
It's got fantastic. So
yeah.
You can actually see the bones.
Yeah, you can actually because the ceiling's gone, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can you talk a bit about the wine service? Because that, as a lover of wine, that struck me that, I mean, it was a very thoughtful wine service, very professional, but not overbearing. It was a really, I mean, can you talk about who's doing the wine for you? And
but, so Stuart Sanders, basically, I think we come from really similar backgrounds and we're both at the same stage and we both think the same way. So it's a very good marriage. He's seen all the dicky stuff. He's seen all the bullshit, and you know, it doesn't work. It physically doesn't work, and people don't want it anymore. So, you know, he's quite happy to cut it all back and just put really good quality wines, and not just the wines. The actual back bar is stunning. Like, it's second to none, man.
He's very affable. But what I liked about him is sometimes when you've got somebody talking about wines, they can appear, they may not be, but they can appear extraordinarily patronising. That is not the way it was. It was a pleasure dealing with him, and he was explaining each wine you can see with him, he's somebody who loves food and wine, and so you can see him matching the two as he talks to you about it, and for me, that's what's missing at a lot of places.
And to be honest, like, I'm going to keep him for as long as I can, because I mean, I haven't seen anybody with that sort of skill level at all. Basically, when we got the place, I spoke to a lot of really good waiters. I said, hey, listen, I've got this place. You know, I've known these people really well. And I told them about it and the amount of work and what they'd have to do, and they were so scared that they wouldn't come near it. And this guy's really knocked it out of the park. I can't say anything bad about him. Unfortunately, it took me a little while to see what was going on with the food.
But now he gets it.
He gets it, yeah.
I noticed, just looking at the demographic in the restaurant, quite a mixed demographic. A lot of curious locals wandering in tonight, just seeing what you're about.
Yeah, there was a lot of curious locals. Basically, we've just done a letter drop, and we've just told them, hey, this is who we are, and this is what we're doing. So I think, you know, we'll probably do some more of that this week. We should be starting to get their attention a little bit.
And I should mention to people listening too, I mean, really, this is a restaurant well worth making a trip for, because, I mean, the food is batting way above its weight at very reasonable price points with very good produce.
Yeah.
The produce is key and the innovation. It's a really... I'm really impressed.
Yeah, fantastic.
Can you tell us about your... just the ultimate vision of it, Roy, as far as you... So we'll get upstairs running and you'll be...
We're going to get upstairs running.
How are you going to handle that logistically, out of interest?
What do you mean?
Were you going to have people running up and down the stairs all the time?
Yeah, we are. So basically the stairs are a really big deal.
Yep.
We're just going to do it like we do everything else, and we're going to do it, just going to be really smart about it.
Yeah.
You know? Downstairs is going to be the bartender. So Bobby will stay downstairs and he will take charge of that area, and we'll have two runners, one running food, one running drinks, and they'll look after the tables downstairs and up here as well.
Yeah.
And they'll bring the food up. So a couple of juniors, and then we'll have stew floating in between.
Yeah.
And probably two waiters up here, but have to get some more senior boys up here, I think.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about desserts, because
they're a bit different, aren't they?
Yeah, but we have sometimes good savoury chefs. Don't always cook fish well, but also when it comes to dessert, it's sometimes a prickly end of the meal or a pointy end, but we found them really interesting.
Yeah, they're not your run-of-the-mill desserts. I've put quite a lot of thought into them and quite a lot of effort. I'm friends with, do you know Kirsten Tibbler?
Yes, pastry god.
Yeah, so basically when she opened the school in Melbourne, we used to, myself and my ex-wife used to fly down from Port Douglas. We'd go down 3 or 4 times a year and study there. So I learned quite a lot. I mean, having said that, mine and her style's not even remotely similar. But, you know, I learned a huge amount of technique.
Yeah.
And I learned that, okay, when you look at pastry, it's a different trade, and you have to think differently, and you have to layer the food differently.
Yep.
It doesn't always work because, I mean, some of the desserts on the menu at the moment are very much about salt. Yeah, I mean, the potato chip cake is about salt. It's not about sugar. It's about salt. Strawberry dessert's a little bit salty as well, deliberately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just gives it that lift.
AJ particularly enjoys the sorrel ice cream tonight. Do you want to talk a bit about that?
Well, for me, all my life coming from the country, I love the smell of fresh cut lucerne, and you only get it in the country.
Yeah.
And to me, that sorrel ice cream was the taste that matched the smell. And it was so earthy.
I almost wish you'd had the hay, the strawberries and hay now.
I'll be back, don't panic.
It may not be on the menu, but... because I think you would have really enjoyed that, because the hay's got like a flavour, sort of like a malt milkshake. It's quite interesting.
You mentioned earlier that you intend to turn the menu over quite frequently.
Yeah, so basically we've been open for a week. I changed a few things this morning, and it's not a bad thing, because this place, I've set it in stone now so that it can evolve and grow constantly, even long after I'm gone, so that it doesn't get stuck. Because I've seen a lot of places where people don't like change and they get stuck, and they might be very good restaurants, but if you can't change rapidly enough and fast enough, you end up getting stuck in a place where you're not doing very well.
And I remember when we spoke before I came in, you spoke about having cheese courses.
Yeah.
And your interest in that.
Yeah, it's a good idea, isn't it?
I think it's a great idea.
Mm.
Yeah, because basically, cheeses, people lump three cheeses on a board. Okay, they have to have a brie, a cheddar, a blue.
Yeah.
And they have a specific order they have to be in, like softest to hardest. Or mildest or strongest.
I'm so embarrassed. And I did that yesterday.
And you know, they have to have crackers, and they have to have something sweet. And you know, the things don't always match up very well. So firmly I believe if you take a really good cheese, and they're not cheap, they're very expensive, and you make it the star, and you give it things that you know it's going to like, it's better, and it's easier for stew to match it with wine. It's much more interesting for the diners. Because they get things that are specifically put on that plate to make that cheese really special. So it's a much better way to eat.
That quince and Vegemite and rye, that was just brilliant.
So basically, I think I came up with that Sunday or Saturday night, and because Stuart said to me, hey, you know that cheddar I really like? Do that. And I'd been telling him for a while, hey, I want to do, you know, cheddar and Vegemite.
And it was an extraordinarily nice cheddar.
Yeah, Pine Gala is fantastic. It's an Australian cheddar too, which is really good.
And it's so dry. And it's I don't mean it's a dry cheese, but it tastes like a dry wine.
Yeah.
So that when Stewie gave us, what did he give us?
PX. Nice Pedro Jimenez with a beautiful
Pedro.
That's really good, the PX.
That was. I love Pedro Jimenez, but then I'd love to get some of that.
Yeah, and that was from Jerez, wasn't it? Yeah, and that just married so perfectly with it.
Yeah.
So it was extraordinary.
So to people listening to this interview now who were thinking of maybe coming into Dragoncello, what would you tell them? What would you like to provide for them as their experience?
I just want to give them an experience that's really honest, and you know, make it clear that from the minute they step in that this place is not about anything except, you know, a garden, really. You know, it's about plants and produce and looking after it and putting back and trying to do the right thing so that we have something better later. Basically, you know, that's it. And we're just trying to do really nice things simply.
Yeah, but it's sophisticated in its simplicity.
Yeah.
And that's what I loved about it.
It's very simple, and but, you know, complex.
Yeah.
I'd just like to say to diners too that at the moment that with two in the kitchen, Roy's right over all the food, which is in your favour. But we'd like to thank you. I'd like to thank you and for inviting us in. And it's one of the most, as I said, one of the most exciting meals I've had this year. And
yeah.
I mean, I want this restaurant to succeed because of its honesty, sustainability, just your general, you know, ethos. You know, when you're talking about you know, quality, sustainability, innovation, value, and you know, these things, you don't have to be a two or a three hat restaurant for that. I mean, if they're at your core values, that's more important than anything else.
They're the core values, and everything is going to come back to that every single time, you know?
And, you know, as I said to you, there's nothing worse for me than going out and it's a disappointing experience.
It happens a lot.
It happens a lot, but... Yeah. I don't go out that much, so I'm very selective with that where I go. But my God, I really enjoyed it so much.
It's it's not your average place, and
no,
and it's going to stay that way. Yeah,
yeah,
because
you
know, I've got a lot of control here, a lot of say, and you know, it's not going to be average because I physically can't do it. I can't give these people what they want, steak and chips and this sort of thing. Then I'm quite happy just I'll shut the doors, you know. I'll go somewhere else. And
I don't think you need to. I think the food's really quite exceptional.
Yeah. I do think that people do find good restaurants that are genuine in their intent, and I hope, you know, through this interview that people will listen to what you've said today, because I mean it's important that restaurants that are genuine in their intent get a have their own voice and get a audience.
Yeah.
And I thank you for inviting us today. And
it's been an absolute pleasure. We've had a lot of media
so
in
much.
Today, and to be honest, you guys have been outstanding. Yeah? Mm. It's nice to have people in here that actually have a genuine interest in food.
Yeah, cheers for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks,
come anytime, you're welcome back, man.
No, cheers. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. There's a couple downstairs that are lucky they're not kicked out.
Well, don't worry, because we just think it's fabulous, and good luck.
Yeah. We shall spread the word.
Yeah,
all right, we look forward to seeing where the restaurant goes, mate, and, with interest. And
come back in a couple of months, and we'll have upstairs open. And
that'll be great.
We'll have some more staff. And
for sure.
Yeah.
Sounds great. Thanks, Roy. Thanks for your time,
thanks,
mate.
Roy.
Thank you.
Absolute pleasure, guys.
Cheers. Thank you.